as is always the case, I don't think we can look at every one of them, but there is one that I want to look at, and that is in the raising of this little girl. Why would Jesus put everybody out of the room so that they wouldn't see it, except for the family and Peter, James? Mourners who would get out. Why is that? What kind of pastoral care is that? What kind of evangelism? You know, if this was on the resume of a priest that this congregation was considering, well, I did raise the dead, but I didn't let the crowd come in, and I kicked all the mourners out, and just the family came in. They'd be thinking, well, okay. The search committee would be thinking, fine. We're not going to grow with this one, so off the list he goes, is probably what we'd be thinking. Well, not you, of course, but this could happen. As I was looking at this, I remembered something that happened back at our church in Pennsylvania, and we built that building. The members of the congregation, the project manager, much like here with this building, poured concrete, that contractor did. And this is a very competent business, and all the workers were competent. And we found out one of the things he did was this. If any of his workers showed up even a minute late, he sent them home. Didn't want to hear what just that day. Day, probably on time. Well, that's a little rough. What was every worker to be fully focused on the project for the time that they were working, and not thinking about what a tough time they had getting there or other things that were going on that might have caused them to be late. But everything gets put to the side, except for the hours that they worked, getting that foundation in so that it was. We might have tried. Room, and we might not have told the crowd, you stay back. We might have wanted the attention and make sure everybody saw what was happening. Had another thing going on in his mind, something else he wanted to make sure. We're able to fully receive what he was giving. Happen, Jesus will work those in our lives to draw us more fully into the family of God. You know, just as completely into the family of God as we can get. Now, I want you to remember this kind of way of thinking about it, because there's a lot of ways wrong, but this to it, I'm going to like what he says because he's my friend. And you can be a follower of Jesus. That's where if Jesus tells you something, You say, well, I'm going to do that. Or you can be in the family of Jesus. Of course, these are not all mutually exclusive, but you get to the family of Jesus, and what's going on is that you want to be like Jesus. You've stepped from thinking he's all right to thinking, yeah, I agree with him, he's my friend, to if he says something, I'll do it, to I want to be just like him. Recall that there was a time in the book of Revelation, this, you know, John's there in the book of Revelation, walking all around heaven in this vision, and he sees, depending on your translation, he sees myriads of angels. Now, I don't know how many number, just angel after angel of angels, and then he sees this one person coming. It's one being coming towards him, and he's tempted to worship that being. He would not have mistaken that being for an angel after having seen myriads and myriads of angels. Instead, he mistook that being for Jesus. And that person says to John, don't worship me. I'm one of you. This was a person who had died and gone on. This was a person who had gone on. And the transformation was so complete that he'd become like Jesus, to where John would be Jesus year day in day out. That is the transformation that Jesus is leading you and me into, to the point where we are with God. Our family likeness will be so complete that we're an awful lot like him. John even said that in one of his letters in 1 John. We don't know what we shall become, but we know this, we shall be. Everything that goes on, Jesus is working so that we become like him. You know, if you're like me, you're thinking, there's an awful lot of time where that's not even in my mind. That's not even close. I don't see how that's happening. But Jesus does, and he's weaving it for that to happen. And he does that continually demonstrating his love for us. You know, he will be there when you need him. He will help if you ask. And Jesus, as you've probably seen, draws in those who listen. Now, those who are not listening, he's working to get them to listen. Those who are listening, drawing them in further. When we have put everything else aside to look for him, he draws us in. That's what we see in the raising of the synagogue ruler's daughter. By the time Jesus got there, as we saw in the gospel reading today, the sick girl had died. And he knew that before he got there. And you remember the story. Jesus delayed because of the healing of the woman with the hemorrhage for 12 years. Come and say, no, you know, she's dead. And he says to the crowd, have faith, only believe. And then he gets to the house and he sees all the mourners and they're all dead. She's asleep. family, notice, didn't laugh. It was the crowd that laughed. But Jesus is still there. It doesn't matter who's scorning, who's making fun of your faith, or anything like that. Jesus is still there. And even though the family wanted healing while she was sick, they had the presence of Jesus. He's still there, still drawing them closer. So he turns the crowd away, brings in the family and the disciples, and raises the girl from the dead. See, the family and the disciples were listening to Jesus, and the crowd was not. The family and the disciples were looking to Jesus for whatever he was going to bring in for this girl, and the crowd was not. Toward him, even though their worst fears had just been realized. So Jesus drew them closer, said, "Come with me." That's what he will do with us all the time. We turn to him and he says, "Come with me." Now, for our listening, I think it comes down to this. What do you want? Jesus often asked that of people, just bluntly. What do you want? He asked them other questions that were even more annoying, but that he often started there. What do you want? And this is where it really comes home to us. It does for me. If you want to be right, in any situation, may I bluntly suggest to you that you may not be listening to Jesus. Instead, you're listening to these other things. If you, on the other hand, want to know what Jesus is going to do next, look. Listening to Jesus. Just wanting to know those things. Jesus, what are you going to do next? What is it that you're saying? You're listening to Jesus, and he will draw you closer. Just thinking of those things means that you are I know it's tempting to think, well, the only way I know I've heard the voice of the Lord is if I'm riding on a horse and he knocks me off or slaps me up the side of the head or whatever else it might be. No, just those questions. I wonder what Jesus is doing. If that comes to you, you have heard the voice of the Lord. Even for just a moment, from wanting to be right, be in the right place, be with the right people, have the correct opinion about whatever it is, look okay, embarrassed. Moving from that to him is how you begin listening to him, and he starts drawing you closer. The voice of the Lord is powerful beyond our own being right, being in the right place, having the right opinion, or whatever. And says, it's over the waters. The glory of the God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth in flame. is the love of God. The voice of the Lord flashes forth with his love. Give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry glory. When you take a moment or some period of time to put aside everything else and turn totally to Jesus with your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, he will draw you further in. Him just to be with him. He will bring you into that place where he will heal within. Goodness that keeps you from getting further, that keeps you from developing relationships, that keeps you from seeing clearly what's going on. Whatever it is, Jesus is the one who will bring you into the place where he will heal that brokenness just by what he says. He will bring you into the place where he can fill you only as he can. That's one of the things. Us into the center and middle of his Spirit of God bringing to your heart and mind right now about the manner in which you listen to Jesus. It won't be reprimand. It won't be telling you. Turn to me like this, in a way that's right for you. Then you would take that step, whatever it is. You'll find things about Jesus that may have never occurred to you. And you'll find things about yourself that Jesus has already known that may have never occurred to you as well. It is the manner of being his disciple that he's inviting you into. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have raised the dead, healed the broken, set captives free. Continue, we may be like you now, all the days of our life, and into eternity, for the glory of your name.